Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Record, damn you. Okay, there we go. Do-do-do. It's like... hey everybody, welcome to Game Classy.
Game Assy.
Game. That's what it is going to be today, I'll tell you that. I have nothing to talk about. I've been busy as crap at home. I got two kids and no monies. The usual.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's because you have two kids. If you didn't have those kids, you'd have monies.
Yeah, but what would I spend my money on?
Booze.
Booze.
Loose women.
Booze and loose women are cheap. I can afford that now.
Not with two kids.
It's like I can afford booze and cheap women, but I can't afford plastic toy soldiers, I'll tell you that.
Anything fun, that's what I would say.
True enough. I spent all yesterday reorganizing the vault of all my minis. It's kind of sad. You go into my crawl space and I put up shelves in my crawl space and like organized everything, and it's like it literally looks like the back room of a GW store.
Nice. I have some non-gaming related news whatsoever. I tweeted my most successful tweet ever yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, okay.
Yeah, so
three people retweeted it.
No. A lot more than that. So the one of the, yeah, actually right now we're at 89. So it's not, I mean, I'm not at the thousands of like some of the crazy ones, but for
like
me,
Will
I was just like, I was like, whoa, like, I'm like, wow, I've almost just, that's crazy. So anyway, and there's still more coming in, but it was just a reply because someone was complaining about the character design of Final Fantasy 15.
Oh my God.
The chick, Sydney. He was like being all like oh, did these game developers ever even seen a woman? And it was like close up on like the character's boobs. So I got a photo of a cosplayer who looks exactly like the character model, and I just replied to it with that picture. And people are just like, people very much enjoyed it.
Well, that's great. I would imagine that if anyone's going to get butthurt over something, it's going to be Final Fantasy 15.
It was pretty awesome. Well, it was just humorous. It's like, guess what? A real person actually did it. So
I had a really funny joke, but it turns out like everybody had the same funny joke. So it didn't end up being that funny in the beginning. And in the end, I said to a friend and I go, man, we're only halfway into Final Fantasy XXX. And everyone had that joke. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like, God damn it. Just trying to be clever.
Missed it.
I know. But I can't believe they made it all the way up to Final Fantasy 15. That's
it's a lot of Final Fantasies.
Yeah, I mean, I only played a couple of them back in the... I played 1, 2, and 3 on this SNES. So what the American versions or whatever. The
Super Nintendo ones were good, and the NES ones were good. I liked 7, and then they started going drastically downhill from there.
I played 7 for a little bit. I played like... But it wasn't the type of Final Fantasy I wanted to play. I wanted to play like what was 2 and 3. Back in the day, or what? 5 and 6, right? Yeah. That's what it was.
Correct.
That's the ones I wanted to play.
Or wait, 2 might have been. It might be 4 and 6. I can't keep them. I can't keep them straight between the.
Yeah, the crossover, whatever.
Yeah,
but
I know for a fact 3 is 6.
Oh yeah,
I think 2 might be 4.
That's what I was kind of hoping to play a little bit more of, and it was a little too. Like I just want to play, and you got all these cutscenes. It was like my first introduction to like super heavy cutscenes that I'm just like, I'm not interested in this at all. This is stupid.
But you like Assassin's Creed? That game's like half cutscenes.
Yeah, but it's different. I was back then.
I mean, it's newer, so the cutscenes are better.
Well, yeah, exactly. It was like back then. I was looking
even the newer Final Fantasies that are not as good have better cutscenes because
it's. But back then, I wanted to like I had just gotten off of like playing. I played Final Fantasy 3 like. 4 times all the way through. I loved that game, and I leveled all of the characters, and I got everyone, and I you know, did all this crazy stuff with it, and I absolutely fell in love with that game.
I like Sabin because you can suplex the train.
Yeah. And then you get to 7, and it's just like, it was like the first entire disc of it, of the 5 however many discs it was just like it was just one long cartoon, and I'm just like, I don't care about any of this.
See,
you're someone who hasn't played a lot of JRPGs, because that, the cutscenes in that game are nothing compared to Xenosaga.
Well,
Xenosaga, when you switch the discs from disc 2, there is literally a, I think it's like 60 plus minutes of just like, it's not a cutscene, but it's just dialogue.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, that's long. I mean, I like story, but like, I also like a little bit of gameplay in between.
Exactly. I mean, that's the thing, is like, playing Japanese RPGs, it's like, I want like, oh, my guys move around and we fight villains and everything like that. And then the villain monologues and you defeat the villain. And
it's been a while since I've played 7, like many years, but I do not remember 7 being very heavy on cutscenes at all. I remember being the first to have full motion, like 3D cutscenes, which were very cool, but they were all short.
Yeah, but I'm saying in comparison from 3 to 7, or 6
well,
to
yeah,
7.
Yeah, you go from a Super Nintendo to a disc-based system.
That's what I'm saying. It's like I was not happy about that. I had yet to make the transition between the two. I think this was in like 2002.
Even then, you were living in the past, man.
I was. It was between like 2001 and 2002. I was just like, I couldn't fathom the differences between the games. Like, I completely skipped over N64 and GameCube.
So you played 7 like way late.
Yeah, I did. I did play it way late. And even then, I was just...
I played
like,
it when it was fresh,
when
brand
it was
new.
Fresh, yeah. The games I had played on other systems, like the most log time I ever got on like a original PlayStation was like on Tony Hawk. You know, or PS2. My roommate in college got a PS2. He waited in line and got it, and that was the big thing. We played Tony Hawk Pro Skater for hours.
Put in the Boba Fett code. So it'd be Boba Fett. It was Jango Fett.
It was whatever it was. It was just the ridiculous amount of time we played, and the original. Well, I shouldn't say the original, but Grand Theft Auto 3. We played a ton.
Tony Hawk is a series that has just vanished. They tried to come up with one not too long ago, and it was a dismal failure.
I mean, it's fun, and I think they could do better stuff with it, but the problem is that the concepts of playing it really haven't changed from...
I also think people don't care about skating.
Yeah.
And I think there was a bit of interest in, like, skateboarding for a very short while, and then
where I grew up, skateboarding was huge, and rollerblading too. That was another thing that was really huge.
But not anymore.
No, not anymore. I mean, this it lasted all the way up until about... 2003, 2004, and then it kind of just disappeared.
Like,
yeah,
the people's interest waned in pro skating.
It was just a subculture that kind of got a little too mainstream.
There was a Razor Scooter game for PlayStation. Okay,
ooh.
Razor Scooter.
A Razor Scooter.
It fucking cracks me up.
Can I get one of those hoverboard games?
Just Razor Scooter. I remember when Razor Scooters were fucking gigantic. There's always those damn wiener kids on them. And it was so funny because it's like, it's such a useless form of locomotion because like you constantly have to move your foot.
Yeah.
It you know, like a skateboard, at least you can, you know, use your body weight to keep it going.
Yeah.
And you don't have to constantly move it. But the fucking Razor Scooter's like, if you stop moving, your Razor Scooter stops.
I was really terrible on skateboards. I was too tall and too ungainly on a skateboard. I was really good on rollerblades, but... Then I realized I was on rollerblades and I had to stop.
I just used a bicycle.
Yeah. I used a bike too.
Yeah, that was all I got.
And now I'm old enough to realize that if I was still riding a bicycle at my age, I'm one of those people and I just don't want to do that.
I was never interested in any form. Like, I had a very utilitarian outlook at my bike. I was like, I need this bike to get to the comic shop.
Pretty much. And then I discovered that I had a car and I was just like, screw this, I'm driving everywhere.
Unfortunately for me, I did not discover I had a car when I was 10.
Well, I'm talking
when
like,
I was riding a bike.
When I was 16, my dad was the king of backroom bar deals. So he would be able, like, he'd come home with like $100 car for me and he'd be like, drive it till it's dead. I'm like, can do.
A couple days later, need a new one.
They would last. I'd keep them for about a year, and then it would be like the electrical system would explode, and I'd be like, "Dad, the electrical system exploded. All right, get another car." But it was pretty good. I had a $700 Oldsmobile that lasted for like 6 years. It was ridiculous. It was one of the best cars I've ever bought in my life.
That sounds like quite a value.
Yeah, it was. It was. It lasted about 5 years.
That's still a ridiculous value.
Yeah. All right, let's get into some gaming stuff, because I don't want to talk about the 90s and early 2000s, because it's depressing. It was a time before I had children. So I guess the big gaming news, I know there probably is some other gaming news that I just don't even know about, like... Predator Press probably just canceled Hordes and we had no idea because we just don't care or pay attention to it. Kingdom Death 1.5 Kickstarter. It is making ridiculous buko bucks on the Kickstarter. It's got it made 6.7 million, and it's still got 30 days to go on
6.7 million.
I mean, don't get me wrong, the game is really, everything looks really cool with it. It sold, the first one sold really well, and I like, what they say the delivery date on it is 2020. Yeah,
2020, which is good. Hey, I, you know what, having realistic expectations is not something you see often in a Kickstarter.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of money. It's a ton of money.
Yep.
And I'm really, Kingdom Death
Boots has claimed victory once again.
Yes. Kingdom Death is weird to me, okay? Maybe you can help explain this to me.
All right.
Maybe you have some theory or something or other floating around in your head. I never see anybody playing it.
Okay.
However, like at Gen Con, the booth was swamped. Everything sold out.
You don't see people playing it because no one's going to bring a board game worth $1,000 to a fucking game store.
Well, maybe. But I mean, like, not even online. Like, online, I don't see, like, a lot of blogs talking about it too much. And I follow a decent amount of blogs.
Because they're probably plebs who missed the fucking first Kickstarter.
Could be.
And they don't want to spend $1,000 on getting it.
Well, it could also be that they pledged and then, like, when it took 3 years to deliver, they were like, no, thank you. And canceled their...
From what I hear, I didn't hear a lot of people cancel. It was one of those. It was a weird Kickstarter because
like Ogre.
It's, well, because he stayed in constant contact.
That could be it too. Yeah,
you usually don't see people start canceling their. So I'm sure some people did because people are impatient. But you usually see the mass cancellations and people trying to get their money back when the person who's running the Kickstarter goes silent, which does happen frequently. And there's just no updates, no communication. He was really good about communication, and he's like, "Look, this is here. This is the delay. Blah 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 blah."
This is ridiculous. Okay, so I'm looking at, like, so the highest level is for $1,666, Satan's Lantern. You get Kingdom Death, the court, the game, 1.5, Gambler's Chest, which I don't know what that is, 12 current expansions, so that's great, all new expansions from the Kickstarter, all new pinups from the Kickstarter, promos from the Kickstarter, exclusive Satan t-shirt, Pinups of Death Series 1, all pinups and promos from last Kingdom Death Monster Kickstarter. So far, he's run that 3 times, and like the max backers is 666. I think he was thinking, like, oh, that'd be fun. But it's already like hit 666 three times. For $1,666, yep. That is ridiculous. Oh, man. Oh, well, I mean, like, some of them are like the retail one, which is for $1,200, you know, that sort of thing. I mean, it's just, I can't. Could you imagine spending like $1,500 on a mini game? Like, right, that's not even going to come out.
I'm pretty sure I have.
Well, I mean, that's not even going to come out for 3 years. Like, yeah. Putting that much investment into it.
In a lump sum, that's impressive.
That's what I'm saying, in a lump sum. Yeah, I mean, trust me, I've spent more than $600.
I was
going to
say, I'm pretty sure everyone listening has spent more than that on gaming.
Yes.
But, yeah, in one shot, that's definitely more than I've ever spent. The most I've ever spent in one shot was $800.
Really?
Yeah, that's
was that on the Lord of the Rings stuff?
It was on, actually, no, my Lord of the Rings stuff was, well, way cheaper, but no, it was just a giant order in total, like a bunch of shit from eBay and like all together. It was just like, oh, that's a lot of money.
I think the max I ever spent, probably at one time, as sad as this is probably like $300. Which it doesn't seem like that much. For me, that's a huge chunk.
Yeah, I bought
army.
I bought two armies outright. So yeah. Like that was, you know, that's basically it. It's just like when those suspected meth dealers would come into the bunker and buy like $4,000 worth of Forge World in one shot.
Yeah, well, what were they doing with that again? Were they like,
they played Forge World? I don't fucking know.
I thought maybe they were laundering it or something.
No, they came from out of state. So I think they were just weirdo fucking like
meth dealers.
Yeah, well, that's how we think they had the money.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we think they had the money from dealing the meth, and they were really into 40K. So that's what they spent their meth profits on.
I was and when I was organizing my stuff in the vault, I actually found a Chaos Hellblade Forge World piece, and I was like, I didn't even know I had this.
was that the Hellblade that was like the Elysians that everyone kept selling to each other?
No, this one I think I got from back in the day. I used to do like commission work over at the bunker. Like they would, because back at, there was a certain point when the bunker didn't have anybody who could paint there. So whenever they'd have a new army come out, they would just give me a call and be like, we need you to paint this army. We'll pay you and you know, whatever, you know, just. And so I would go there and I would, you know, paint up, I don't know, Eldar. And then they would just be like, okay, here's $500 worth of store credit. Go nuts. And I just buy a ton of shit and I had no idea what to do with any of it. Because I just enjoyed painting, and I was friends with all those guys, so I was like, nah, why not? I probably would have done it for free if you just asked me about it. But they would give me a bunch of like product, and I would just go nuts with it. Like, I would make huge orders back with the old ordering system. Mm. That's how I have like so much stuff. I would just do favors, and I would get it for relatively free. It was not great. However, that's how I got my Marienburg land ship, which is no longer available, by the way.
Yes, the ship with wheels.
I love that piece. That's one of my favorite pieces.
Stupidest fucking model ever.
It's a stupid model, but it was awesome to paint and put together. It was actually a huge pain in the ass to put together.
It's humorous. I'll give you that.
It was beautiful.
It's
beautiful.
It's very funny. I'll give you that. But other than that, no. The ship with fucking wheels.
Hey, that's what got me into the Cool Mini or Not annual. That piece, because I maintained a Cool Mini or Not rating of over 8.0 for Ooh. 2 years, so, or 1 year, so they put me in the
Fancy
annual.
Fancy pants.
I know, it's my claim to fame, yo. Claim to fame. But yeah, so Kingdom Death. If you back it, more power to you. I couldn't wait that long. I don't think I could wait 3 years. Well, 2 years, maybe. No, it would be, because they say December of 2020, so that would be 3 years.
Just goes to show a lot more people than you have patience.
Yeah, There's a level of patience. Like, I'll back something that I know might take about a year, year and a half max, but not 3 years, man.
Like I said, a lot more people than you have patience.
Obviously. There's a lot. To make 6.7 million.
Let's see how many backers there are.
Well, let's see.
It should be listed on there.
Yeah, it should be. 13,000 backers.
It's a lot of fucking backers.
That's a lot of backers.
It's a lot of people with a lot more patience than you.
Yeah. I wonder if they're like speculators, like from the big short.
I don't think so. I think at this point, anyone who would be trying to get it for profit would need to realize that that's not going to happen, because there's so many more people getting it this time.
Yeah,
if you were in on the first round, you could have made some money by selling on eBay, because it just was never available. Like, it wasn't like another Kickstarter game where the game came out, delivered to Kickstarter backers, and then you could buy it at a store. That never happened.
Yeah,
so there's value there, but that the original Kickstarter was like 2 million.
Yeah.
So we're already three times bigger and climbing, because there's still, you know, almost 40 days left in it. So anyone trying to buy it for the purposes of resale, if they don't realize that they're going to be blown out, they're probably going to be blown out.
Yeah. I wonder if this is going to affect the price of the first one. I mean, I'm sure it will. It won't, because the game is 3 years off.
Yeah.
There's stuff, so you want to play it, you're still going to have to.
There's a time frame where it's still going to be, you know, plenty.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's the new Star Wars Destiny dice.
The Star Wars Density?
Yeah, that's a fucking disaster.
Is that? I heard about it. I didn't know it was a disaster.
Well, the game is apparently great. Like, super
but
good.
But it's Westwind, so it's not Westwind. It's Fantasy Flight, so it's underpacked.
Yeah, they produced almost none of it, so there's just, everyone is raging because they can't get any product. There's, you know, people gouging on the price left and right.
I don't understand, like, dice games, they always come in so hot. Like, people love playing dice games, but they're always undershipped.
Yeah, I mean, it killed Dice Masters, like, as a game. Like,
yeah.
Because it took months for them to bring the starters back, so by the time Dice Masters is available again, everyone who's interested just stopped. They didn't care.
Yeah, I don't understand. It's like, exactly, the Dice Masters thing, maybe people are still feeling like, or retailers are like, or manufacturers are like, this could be another Dragon Dice. I don't know.
No, Dragon Dice was made by TSR. Like, TSR is fucking old as shit. And, like, Dragon Dice is, like, what is it? Nostalgic fun, but not genuine fun.
This could be the next Disc Wars.
Hey, Disc Wars sold a lot, shockingly.
Actually, it was funny. You ever watch Drunk History?
I've seen a few, yeah.
I was talking with a buddy of mine, because I was like, man, I would love to do a Drunk History. And I was like, I just don't know what I would do. Like, I know a lot about a lot of different things, but I can't pick one thing in particular. He goes, you should do the history of Dungeons and Dragons, like, as a Drunk History. I'm like, oh, man, that would be fantastic. Just to say the word Gygax while drunk.
And you see Gary falling asleep.
So in the 1980s, this thing called the Satanic Panic happened.
Is that anything like a satanic mechanic?
The satanic mechanic? No, the satanic panic. It's when everyone thought Dungeons & Dragons led you to worship the devil.
I've read some chick tracks.
Chick tracks. That guy's dead.
Good.
And hopefully burning in hell.
Ba-dum-bum.
What? How can you rage against something like so innocuous that you that becomes your
that guy raged against fucking everything.
Well, he did. But I mean, like a lot of other people.
Let's smoke marijuana and reject Christ. That's my fucking favorite. That is my absolute favorite panel of anything ever. Smoke marijuana and reject Christ.
Wasn't one of them like where the kid's like sitting there and he's like, "Would you like to hear about my friend Jesus?" The other kid goes, "No, thank you."
Yeah. The best is like in the fucking the magic powers are real is like the 100% like, yes, people can use magic powers if they're in consort with the devil. Like, my dad told me not to play Dungeons & Dragons anymore, so I cast a spell and he bought me more supplements. It's like, really?
Dude, if I could legit get magic powers from playing Dungeons & Dragons and worshiping Satan, I'd probably go that route because magic powers are awesome.
Yes, which is why magic powers don't exist. Because if they did... A lot of people would have them
because it's awesome.
Yeah, you'd be like, there'd be fucking magic wizard dueling in the fucking streets.
And you'd be all over that.
I'd stay at home. I would use my powers for like, you know, lame shit like painting or you know what? I'm going to pause time so I can beat this game. It's like pause reality, just like play this game. Like, all right, I did it. And start time again. Fantasy Flight's releasing The Extraordinary Adventures of Baron Munchausen RPG.
Really?
Yeah.
An RPG?
Baron Munchausen, that's a real thing.
Well, I mean, it is a real thing. It's a...
No, I mean, the fact that it's an RPG, that's a real thing that's happening.
It's
so fucking weird. Like, talk about a fucking esoteric IP. Like, most people, I'm sure, have never heard of Baron Munchausen seen the classic Terry Gilliam film.
Well, I was going to say, like, in America, the probably the only thing is people who are obsessed with Terry Gilliam and have seen, or are movie fans and have seen that movie. Not even one of his better ones, but...
I've seen that and Time Bandits make a great double feature.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's part of a trilogy. It's Time Bandits, Brazil, and Baron Munchausen are the three of the trilogy.
Fucking love Time Bandits.
Time Bandits, it's good. It's weird.
That was one of my favorite movies as a little kid. Fucking, I haven't seen it in probably two decades, but I loved it when I was little.
I appreciate Terry Gilliam's more adult work, like Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Pornography.
And
beautiful fucking tits.
12 Monkeys. And
I love 12 Monkeys.
The Fisher King. I love The Fisher King.
Never seen The Fisher King.
I think you'd really like The Fisher King. I enjoy the hell.
It's not
of
anything
Fisher.
Like Big Fish, is it? Because that movie fucking sucked.
No. Big Fish was Tim Burton.
Yeah, it was terrible.
I remember seeing it. I didn't think anything of it.
Ugh, I hated it.
Either way. But, I mean, Baron Munchausen, it's a classic fairy tale. Well, I guess, I don't know if it's a fairy tale or legend or something like that. I don't know.
Mm.
But it's a lot of people like that. I don't know. For me, it's very hard to see myself playing a RPG that's not in, like, the classic vein of fantasy, sci-fi, or, you know, like, pulp. It's kind of weird. I don't know. Like those people who play Smallville, the RPG, or something like that. I don't know how that could happen.
That's so weird. Like, we're going to play as regular people in Smallville. Yeah, solve mysteries.
Or leverage the RPG. It's like, what?
Leverage.
That's my go-to when it comes to, like,
weird-ass RPGs.
Like, well, why would someone play this? I mean, like, I guess you could also throw in cyberpunk, but, I kind of put that as sci-fi. But still, you know, it's its own little genre. Shadowrun. People love their Shadowrun.
Maybe you want to be a lawyer. I don't know.
I don't get. It's like truck simulators, you know, or farm simulators that always sell really well in Europe. Like, why would people want to play a truck simulator where you're just driving across country on a truck for 4 hours? But apparently, people do. So, who am I to judge?
I could see. There's actually a truck simulator game that I thought was pretty awesome because it's like. It was straight up, or no, not truck simulator, farming simulator.
Yeah.
Where it's like everything is like super accurate. Like you have to like, you know, every clutch and every little thing of the, and you have to plan everything and you have to like do paperwork and stuff. It's so weird.
Well, apparently, who was I talking to about this? I think it was, God, I can't remember who I was talking. I think it was someone who was European. And like the whole basis is that like these guys who work in offices all day, like they just are like, you know, cubicle farmers or something like that, or lawyers or something like that. They want to get back to doing something that's a little more blue collar or something that's a little more like agricultural, and that's their thing, that's their hobby. They love farm simulators, they love truck simulators. But I mean, you could look at it like the people who are like really into flight simulators too. I can get that a little bit more.
Well, flight simulator, there's action.
Yeah, you're flying.
Yeah,
you know? Well, not all the time.
And don't most. Well, I thought most flight simulator games have like a combat mode.
Well, some do, but I mean, like a lot of people just like. Like there are people like
they want to pretend to be a commercial airline pilot.
Exactly. You've seen like those.
They have the hat.
you've seen people who do the build outs, right? Like the full cockpit in their garage that they do. You've seen that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. There are people who are really into that, and race car drivers too. But I mean, race car drivers, it's all about driving fast. There's some like physical, you know, some visceral response to driving incredibly fast with the possibility that you might actually hit another car. So that I could see that, you know, just like the people who want to play FPSs, like that are real world simulators, like the original Call of Duty and stuff like that.
Like Rainbow Six.
Yeah, stuff like that. They want to pretend like that.
I think you want to go with more Rainbow Six because the games that don't have respawn are the ones that you want to.
Yeah, you know,
Counter Strike and stuff.
The guys who go and do the paintballing.
6-7 Charlie, 3-3 Alpha.
And they do the hand signals and everything. Like, you're just like, stop that. Stop it with the hand signals.
The fist.
The fist, then yeah. Move forward and yeah. Crap like that.
Funny go, stuff.
Move around, you know. To like get over it, guys.
You just shoot those guys. Yeah, just shoot them in the ass with the paintball gun.
Did you just frag your NCO? Yeah, I did. Because he was making hand signals.
I shot him in the ass. Did that fist thing.
He did the fist thing.
I didn't like it.
Of course, that would be me. No, I wouldn't. I would just be like, okay, you need me to go. Oh, crap, I got shot. Okay, I got to go.
I got hit.
I'm going to go work the grill for a little bit and drink. How about that, guys? No, I enjoy it, but it's not a hobby of mine. My hobby is like, I'm going to paint this little guy right here, and then I'm going to put him on the table and push him around.
I am painting your silver pants blue.
Exactly. I haven't played in like 2 months, and I'm dying because I've, you know, with the baby, it's like I can't get out and do as much because he's still too young for that. But yeah, I need to get out. I need to actually participate in my hobby very soon. Speaking of the visceral response thing, I know the answer, but you haven't been watching Westworld, right?
No.
No. You probably should watch it. I think you'd like it quite a bit.
Many people have suggested it to me, but it looked so stupid.
You know, it's, as I always go, it's a show about robot cowboys. Come on.
It looked dumb. That's why it's looked, but you know what? Enough people have suggested to me, I will probably pick up the season when it comes out on Blara, and I'll just smash through it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, I'm only 7 episodes in. I think there's 10 for the season.
I just finished Game of Thrones. I watched the whole season yesterday. Good. Good stuff.
Yeah, it's going real fast now. Like, there's...
The story's moving.
It's like an avalanche. Like, you can't stop it right now.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to... The next season completing and me buying it on Blu-ray and watching it all in one day once again. Next season's it, right?
I think it's 2 more seasons. Okay. I think it's like 1 season and then like a short season. Or there's like, it's 2 shorter seasons. So I think it's like 7 or 8 episodes in each season. But yeah, I'm ready for it to be done. I'm like, okay, let's...
I mean, there's really not much more to do.
Well, I mean, you're going to have to figure out if like, is your favorite character going to survive? Who's going to be Azor Ahai? Who's going to, you know, do this and that? Will Davos Seaworth make it? My favorite character.
I love Davos. Sir Davos, the Onion Knight.
He's always so cranky.
He is.
He's cranky guy. And pragmatic. He's me.
He's a grumpy man.
It's like, no, we shouldn't do that.
You have all your fingers, though.
That's true. I do have all my fingers. Well, I almost lost one finger, but that's about it.
Yeah. But almost only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades.
Yeah. Yeah. But, and bocce ball.
I don't know bocce ball.
Bocce ball. It's a lot like, it's a more land-based curling. So, there's no brooms, though. No brooms.
Then it's not curling. It's not curling if it ain't got the brooms.
I love curling. It's one of my favorite Olympic sports to watch. But yeah, Westworld, it's pretty good. It's some heady sci-fi stuff. Like, it's definitely not Battlestar Galactica, or I shouldn't say Battlestar Galactica. It's not like Star Wars or Star Trek, but it's definitely heady sci-fi.
That new Star Wars is coming out soon.
Yeah, Rogue One comes out next week.
Rogue One.
Rogue One. Rouge One.
You're gonna rug it.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that. I'm like, okay, I can't wait to go see this movie. We'll get some Star Wars.
It looks pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, of course it looks good. It's like a huge, big budget Star Wars movie not done by George Lucas.
There is no of course there, because I did not think The Force Awakens looked good.
You didn't think it looked good? I thought it looked good.
Yeah. It was, I thought, I think it was James that said it's the flying close to the ground simulator. And I was like, it's pretty accurate. Yeah.
I mean, I will stand by Force Awakens as not necessarily a great inventive Star Wars movie, but it was just a fun Star Wars movie. It's great to put on, and it's just like,
remember Tatooine? Yeah. Remember Jabba's Palace? I remember.
Yeah. Well, none of that was in the movie.
Have you been following the recent South Park season?
No, I don't watch South Park.
It's fucking brilliant. It is fantastic.
Everyone loves South Park. I can't.
The two most recent this season and the previous are like they actually did something entirely different. And there's now a, like, I hope they keep going with it, because they changed their formula, because prior to these two seasons, South Park was always like a relevant topic, like parody episode, and then they just would do like those things.
The social commentary,
right? And it would always be like, you know, a thing, and then the next episode. Now they actually have a
like an arc.
The entire season is a story arc.
Oh, okay.
So it is one solid thing. And it,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So I've been really I've been impressed with how they've been able to do it, because I mean they still animate the same way, which is like, you know, like a week. They spend a week animating it and put the show out. But yeah, the arc's been really good. And yeah, it's solid. And I heard they had to do an emergency rewrite on the
Trump episode.
The Trump episode, yeah, the election episode.
Well, because I think everybody was pretty much had to do an emergency rewrite on their...
It ended up being awesome, that episode. Yeah, I recommend it.
President-elect Trump.
This season is about the member berries.
Is it about like nostalgia? Then I'm taking it.
Yes, they're little berries that just talk about things they remember. And like he's like, but they're like, before you go to vote today, you need to admit to yourself that the new Star Wars really wasn't that good. And it's like J.J. Abrams just took things you remembered about Star Wars and liked and just gave it to you again. You have to fight back against that and look towards the actual future. Don't eat the member berries. And then they voted for Trump. And it was like, and then it's the episode after has Britain calling me like, oh, hello there. We ate the memberies. Please do not eat the memories. And they're like, he's like, we're gonna fuck all the immigrants to death. And he's like, and then he's like, oh, I think they've already eaten the memories.
Yeah.
Remember when there was a big and strong man to keep you safe?
And you know what?
I remember.
I feel bad for making fun of Britain so much for the Brexit. Because we did it worse. We
special needs relationship.
Oh my god. I mean, you look at his picks for most of Trump, 99% of Trump's picks for like his cabinet, and you're just like, oh man, this is not gonna be good for anybody.
Hey, the people, a bunch of rubes got rubed.
Yeah, I mean that's basically it.
Rubes got rubed.
It's the same thing that happened with Brexit.
Hashtag rube.
Hashtag rube.
Yep. You got rubed.
Time will tell, but I don't like waiting for that time, because I'm not a happy camper. But
The people who are going to get wrecked the most are the people who voted for Trump.
Maybe.
Which is humorous. Very humorous.
I mean, it is. It's very...
No, when all those hillbillies lose their health care and all start fucking dying of their diabetes because they drink 8 million Cokes a day, fuck them.
Hey, Coca-Cola is huge in Atlanta. If it wasn't for Coca-Cola, Atlanta wouldn't even be
a city.
Atlanta's
a shithole.
I know, I'm just... Actually, Atlanta's not that bad.
Atlanta's fucking garbage. Georgia's a putrid, terrible state.
It is, but Atlanta's kind of nice. I've been to Atlanta a couple times.
Fuck that. I would never go to Atlanta. You couldn't pay me to go to Atlanta.
Atlanta's hot.
Yeah, fuck
that's,
Atlanta.
That's the only thing I can say about Atlanta, is Atlanta is the stickiest place I've ever
been
to.
Atlanta should make Atlantis and sink into the fucking ocean.
Like in Futurama?
With the rest of Georgia. Yes.
Like in Futurama. The ocean city of Atlanta.
Well, I lay my eggs and leave the room and then you fertilize them. Yeah. Why couldn't I have been with a girl with a fish part on the top and a lady part on the bottom?
Oh, Atlanta. Yeah, it's nice. They got a good scene out there.
No.
Yeah.
No, they do not.
Yeah. I mean, like, granted,
I'll let you say a lot of ludicrous things, but I will not sit here idly by while you talk positively about anything from the general South of the United States.
Okay. I'll give you the South is a is a hugely shitty part of the nation. I mean, once you get, how far up would you? Well, I'd say Indiana, but that's
like even halfway south of Illinois is too high. Or too low.
Halfway south, I said. Once you get south of I-80,
yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Local references. So you guys, if you look at Chicagoland on a map, there's kind of like two big expressways that kind of box off Chicagoland, and it's like 355 and I-80, and it's like anything south of I-80 and anything kind of west of 355. I mean. Take or leave, you know, there's whatever, but you know, you could go a little bit further because civilization has been gradually pushing west in the Chicagoland and south. But I mean, but those are kind of like the cross off points. Like once you cross those, just be wary, people, because west, it doesn't get better until you hit the Pacific or Colorado. But, you know, it doesn't
Colorado.
Get much. Yeah, it doesn't get much better. Like you have to Colorado and like.
No, you don't want to be taking that road. That road will lead you right to the south.
Yeah, and then if you go south, it doesn't get better at all. And if you go
just
east,
worse.
Yeah. I mean, let's face it. Chicago is kind of in the smack dab middle of like a really shitty place.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, you could, if you
we're next to Indiana, the worst state in the union.
Yeah, I will agree with that. Indiana is the shittiest of the shit tier states. Not necessarily. Alabama and Mississippi are probably lower.
They're all flyover states, and the flyover states are just getting more flyovery by the day.
Yeah. Kansas. The Dakotas.
How many people live in Kansas? 10?
I don't know. More than Wyoming, I'll tell you that. Wyoming, where they're best known for A, giving women the right to vote, and B, a horrendous hate crime. Montana's nice if you want to just be by yourself. And like, or form a militia. That's what Montana's good for.
Fantastic.
Montana and Idaho, the two places that if you want to be alone or form a militia, go there. Then you got the West Coast, which is all nice. I like the West Coast. I won't lie to that. Do we have any more gaming news? Because as much as I love talking about non sequiturs and nonsense, I would rather talk about some gaming stuff on this gaming podcast.
All I've been doing is practicing Blaze Blue for Frosty Faustings in January.
I have no idea what any of those words mean.
That's fine.
Was it Blaze Blue the card game?
Fighting game.
A fighting game.
Yeah, that's all I've been doing. Everything else has been on hiatus as I try to get better.
You still doing Adepticon.
Adepticon
started up again. The pre-reg.
I have not registered.
No, I haven't either. I gotta figure out what I'm doing.
I'm waiting.
You're waiting? What are you waiting for?
To make sure that I like want to spend the money and go. I mean, I've got a Age of Sigmar for sure, but I want to see what else there's going
to
be.
You want to see if they're going to do, not Kingdom Death, Wrath of Kings?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, this is kind of make or break for Wrath of Kings. I have a complete army, so I want to see what their event is. If they don't do a real tournament, I'll probably be selling my Wrath of Kings stuff.
I do.
Because the last year they had like a beginner's tournament, which was like people who didn't know how to play, like got together. So I don't know. Wrath of Kings, there you go. There's a weird one. There's you know, $2 million Kickstarter that like the player base just there's no player base.
I don't know. I mean, well, look at Relic Knights. Relic Knights was the same thing. A huge Kickstarter.
Relic Knights died harder than any other minis game ever, I think.
Okay. I don't know. That's
I think Relic Knights was I in recent memory, Relic Knights is the hardest death I think I can recall from a minis game.
Yeah, it's such a shame too. I mean, like the rules weren't fantastic. Don't get me wrong. Like I'm not like lauding the rule set, but man, those minis were great.
They had fantastic minis.
Once they got past the initial batch, because I think that might have been the reason, is because that initial batch of minis that came out was pretty piss poor.
Oh, the casting?
Yeah, the casting was really bad on those.
Because the sculpts were good.
Yeah, sculpts were fantastic.
I didn't get any, so.
Yeah, I ended up picking up some of those, and Wrath of Kings as well. I still have three armies for it. I didn't even realize I had a Hadros army until I was going through the vault, and I was like, Hadros? What do I have Hadros models
That's
for?
That's awesome.
Yeah, because I backed all five. I did the full thing, and I ended up I traded the Asian group and the
Shailhan, I believe,
and the Pigmen. I traded those guys.
Technus.
And then I had Hadros, the vampires, and the what's the other one? The Hadros, the vampires, and the demons. And so I put together the demons and the vampire ones. So that those armies are completely built. They're not painted, but they're completely built. And I didn't even realize I still had the Hetros until I was going through the vault and organizing. I was like, what the hell? I have so much stuff in the vault, Steve. So much.
You gotta empty those coffers, friend.
I do. Like, I'm really thinking that I'm going to get rid of the Lord of the Rings. Like, that's going to be the next thing that's gonna go is the Lord of the Rings stuff. Maybe I'll bring them by because I have quite a bit of it. I'm sure you wouldn't want any of the plastics, but maybe some of them. But I have a lot of the metals, so if you want them, it would probably take some work, but. I don't know. I don't see you working on your Lord of the Rings.
No, I mean, I've still got to finish my Sigmar shit first.
The Sigmars.
Everything in its place, everything in its order. Sigmar first, then Lord of the Rings.
Yeah,
Because that's all I have left. I have nothing else is left, and I'm happy about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, then you get to start. Then you could play some bolt action with me.
No. That will never happen.
You should come by and play.
You know what? If I can find a anime girls...
They're
historical anime girls, maybe.
Company B Miniatures puts out Tank Cruise, anime Tank Girl Cruise.
For Girls und Panzer?
I don't know if it's Girls und Panzer because I see that and I cringe. But
dude, Girls und Panzer was... I actually saw the movie with Giuseppe in theater. It was fucking great. I'd never seen it before. I had no idea what it was. I thought it was going to be like panty shots and fucking fan service. It's tank porn.
Yeah.
It's not... And I don't mean porn as in like... Like girl
no,
related
it's,
porn.
It's
literally porn for tank fetishists.
Yeah.
Like every tank is like super accurate.
Yeah.
The Italians had a tankette. And I was like, I thought of you when I saw it. I was like, tankette. Because everyone was fucking ribbing you when you had your fucking Italian army. And everyone was like, your tanks are too small. They're on scale. Yeah. They had a tankette. And it was fucking great. I was shocked at how good it was. I was like, wow, this is actually really good.
Well,
we're going to be doing the full review on the first episode of Weebtown.
Oh, that's good. I'll listen to that because I am a tank fetishist as well.
Yeah,
I mean, not as much as some people, but
super surprised because it was not what I thought it was going to be. More like Strike Witches, which is a panty shot like anime. But
that like about Russians or something like that?
Strike Witches is about little girls who are magical witch powers. But their witch powers involve them. They don't turn into planes, but basically they get like propellers on their legs, and they're all named after planes.
Oh,
so
my
like
God.
Like Tomcat, it's totally out there, and they're fighting. It's World War II era, but they're fighting aliens.
Oh, okay.
So it's everyone's
what?
On the same
okay.
team against aliens.
Okay, so I was thinking about this the other day, and you might know. I don't know. There was a. There was an anime, and it was like a World War II kind of anime. I think Luftwaffe, maybe? Or not anime, manga, maybe?
Mm.
Do you know anything about this? I think it was called Luftwaffe 40-something, Luftwaffe 50-something.
Doesn't sound
but
familiar.
But it was like, it was all like an anime, like alternate history thing. And I've been trying to figure it out, and I can't figure it. I think someone was mentioning on one of our posts, they were talking about like a dragon series, like for fantasy. And I think he was talking about Aragorn. I'm not 100% sure because I never read Aragorn.
Yeah, I didn't. I would have answered, but I know what post you're talking about. I had no idea.
I don't know either. I'm not a huge like dragon guy for fantasy. Like dragons are cool, but I don't like fantasy that really deals with a lot of dragons.
I like dragons as a rare thing.
Yeah.
I think that's cool.
Was it like dragon, like, that's another thing, like dragon porn. Like guys who, there's dragon porn and then there's
dragon
porn.
Yeah, I mean literal dragon porn? Because there's a lot of that. There's a dragon sex calendar you can buy.
That's
kind of one of my favorite things I've ever saw. I was like, man, I really want to get this for people for Christmas.
But
it's just 12 months of dragons fucking. It's fucking awesome.
but like tank porn, there's also dragon porn. Like people who get into like, they write series about dragons and they're really in depth into the anatomy and how the dragon works and everything like that. And I never got into that.
I like that stuff as great example. The most recent season of Game of Thrones, when the dragon roars and you can see his like two glands on the side of his mouth where the flame comes out, those kind of touches I really like.
Yeah, but I mean, like they don't go into it saying what was the
rain
of fire?
There's no scientific analysis on his flame glands
exactly. Like,
but visually they're there, and you can put it together yourself. I like that.
Yeah, but there's people who get
What's the exact temperature? Does it come out as a gas or liquid? Where's the ignition point? How do these dragons fly? What's their weight to wingspan ratio? Do they use a gaseous bubble in their stomach?
Exactly. You're like, no, the dragons fly because they're fucking dragons. Get over it.
They're magic.
Damn wiener kids.
Well, that's the thing. You can always just use the bumblebee if anyone brings up the physics argument. You're like, bumblebees shouldn't be able to fly, and they fucking fly.
Bumblebees can fly. They figured out how bumblebees fly. It's not like they defy physics. I've heard people talk about bumblebees like they defy physics. I'm like, no, they don't. This is why we have physics, you dumb shits.
Well, they defy aviation laws, not physics.
I mean, the aviation laws.
You couldn't build an upscaled bumblebee that would work.
No, we could not build an upscaled bumblebee that worked. Well, maybe, but we'd have to like really, 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 really figure that out. I mean, like, there's other things going on there that are biological that not necessarily we can reproduce,
right?
You know, in a mechanical way yet. But yeah, the people get really into dragons bug me like that. But I mean, everybody has their thing. Like, there are people who I'm friends with who, you know, play World War II games who are rivet counters. They are obsessed with that stuff. And like that's really what it is. It's like they're all about like, well, it can't have four rivets here. It had six rivets, because if it only had four rivets, it wouldn't work. I'm like, I don't care. I just want to push around on the table and roll dice
and go pew pew pew
pew pew pew pew. Yeah. Your guys are dead.
Which is one of the reasons to avoid historical games.
Yeah,
historical gamers. It's the same reason you avoid a lot of things. Like you avoid War Machine and Hordes because War Machine and Hordes players play War Machine and Hordes.
Yeah. I mean, I will go with you. Those are the stinkiest of the tabletop gamers.
I gotta say, the historical guys gotta smell worse. They're funkier.
No,
but they're just like old man crust.
No. Well, it's different. There's a difference in the smell sort of thing, or in the repulsion. Like War Machine Hordes players are usually young guys between like late teens to like early
30s.
Machine
Hordes players smell like BO.
Yeah.
Historical gamers smell like literal death.
The grim
specter of death is like hovering over that room as some dude who's got a fucking like who's got his fucking air tank and he's like, let me move my Germans.
No, a lot of historical players, if you go to a historical convention, tend to look like people who are background characters in like The Name of the Rose, or like I don't know if you know that movie. It's got Ron Perlman in it, so I assume that you might know it.
I'm surprised I don't then.
So when they made the
I'm kind of a Ron Perlman fanboy.
It's actually a pretty fun movie. It's got Sean Connery as like this like detective from the Vatican, and he goes to this weird monastery where they have all these like murders and crap happening and all the back. But the thing
that
is,
sounds sweet.
it's a pretty good movie. It's not great, but it's pretty good. But all the background characters,
it's no Zardoz, but it sounds sweet.
But all the background characters, they wanted to get the weirdest, like creepiest looking extras to play like the monks in the background. So they got people like Ron Perlman, you know, young Ron Perlman in the background, and like they're all creepy and weird looking, or like background characters in a scene in an asylum or something. That's what historical gamers look like. You got these guys who are like 6'8", who weigh like 70 pounds, or you have like these incredibly obese people, or these people with like gigantic messed up teeth. And you're just like, what is going on? What have I walked into? I'm a healthy 35-year-old.
Action tournament is what you walked into, friend.
Now, bolt action is so far from historical.
Yeah, I know. Bolt action's like 40K.
Yeah, at this point. It's like 40K for the people who are like, I'm done with 40K. This is...
Yeah.
It's going to Age of the
armor.
Emperor. Yeah.
Pico armor.
Yeah, no, that's...
Pico armor.
Yeah, it's a little different. I mean, it still has that historical aspect. There is a great divide in bolt action amongst people who are like, this isn't historically accurate. You can't put these guys with assault rifles with this tank because this tank didn't exist. And then there's people who are like, I'm going to do it because it's going to win me the game.
Yeah.
And then those people who get really upset at those people are like, this is what's going to win me the game. And they're like, well, it's just about having fun and throwing dice. I'm like, yeah, but you're at a tournament, so you should try.
Yeah, the having fun argument goes out the window when you're playing at a tournament, unless it's a very specific casual tournament.
Yeah,
if you're playing at a tournament that's marked as casual, there's a level of expectation going to a tournament that I'm expecting people who want to play to win, and it's but the key is, can you as a person need to make that divide yourself? If I go to a tournament with an army that I think is decently competitive but not busted, and I get shit on by some dude who has a 700 archer army that just pees in my mouth, I'm not going to get upset about that. Like, he brought an army to fucking win.
Well, and that's what, like, last year at the doubles when we had the Game Classy listeners who, like, beat me. I was like, oh, no, your list is pretty solid. I'm not going to argue with that list. That list is a tournament list, yeah. You know. Yes, I got pretty, you know, butt-banged, but it wasn't, like... I can't be mad. It's you're at a tournament.
You're there to win.
But there Chicagoland does have a couple like historical tournaments that are very casual. Like, and Chicago's just a bunch of tournaments in general that are pretty casual. But I mean, there's always going to be that guy who's like,
sure,
I'm gonna
you can be that guy at the tournament too. But it doesn't, you know, the key is just, you know, make sure that there are going to be people there who their self-worth is directly related to their ability to win at Toy Soldiers. So you need to just let that guy like have his day, because I can assure you he has nothing else in his life positive. So just let him win and let him take that home.
Yeah, I mean, my life worth is seemed to be measured by the amount of plastic and lead in my basement at this point. So
just fucking drowning in it.
I should have taken pictures for you because you would have been like, "That's
what I've thrown up."
Because you might have, because like I know you've seen my office and you've seen I have.
Yeah, there's too much stuff in there.
I just have a fuck ton of stuff.
Yeah, I would say already too much.
But what's in my office is about an eighth of my total worth.
That's so gross.
I know. Actually, it's about a quarter of what I have.
Jesus.
The three quarters of that is literally in my crawl space, and it's scary. Like I as I was going through stuff, I discovered stuff that I didn't even realize I still had.
That was like when I sold my Magic collection. I had just rows and rows of like 1,000-count boxes just full of Magic cards, and like my buddy was helping me sort it, and he's like, "Jesus Christ!" Like he's like, "Why are these cards with commons?" Like, and just like hear him like talking, I'm like, "Oh, what'd you find in there?" And he's like, "This fucking dissolved wood." And he was just flabbergasted.
Yeah, I mean, I think what I need to get rid of. Aside from, I have stuff that's worth money, and I have stuff that I know I couldn't sell if I tried. Like, I have Relic Knights, or I have, like, the Wrath of Kings stuff right now. It's like, if I tried selling this, I wouldn't get anything for it. So it's like, why even bother? It would cost me more money to get rid of it than just to hold it.
Yeah, or no, I could always eBay it.
Well, but even still, even at eBay, it's like the amount of money, you know, I could get for it.
It's a dice roll, because sometimes you sell shit on eBay and you're like, wow, I can't believe that sold for that much. Like, no. Each time I've done like an eBay purge, I've always been surprised. There's always been something where I'm like, yeah, this is going to sell for a lot, and it sells for fucking nothing. And then there's stuff that I just put up as an afterthought that are just like, people are just desperately wanting. I'm like, why?
Well, and then there's the... Well, and then there's just stuff that I know I could sell and make some money off of, but I'm still, like, the Lord of the Rings stuff. It's like, I really want to just dump this. Like, I don't want to, like, sit there and linger on it and, like, see how much money I could get for it and blah, 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 blah. I'm just like, I need to get rid of this.
Yeah, well, I mean, with the changes coming, too, I think a lot of that old...
Oh, my God, did you see the Lake Town terrain?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Oh, my God.
It's awesome.
Like, that's, like, that is terrain porn.
Yeah.
But that, like,
it's fucking awesome.
I was like... That is the most beautiful piece of terrain I've seen in a long ass time. How much is it going for? Did they say?
I didn't see it. I just saw the preview. I didn't see.
Yeah,
it.
I don't think
have a price.
I don't think they have a price on it yet.
Whatever they're asking, it's worth it.
It's gonna be. It's probably gonna be like $300.
Yeah, it's fucking gorgeous.
Which is, I've seen nicer terrain, equivalent terrain for probably half that price. But even that's still a little too expensive.
Yeah, but it's fucking gorgeous. Yeah. Like, it's really, really nice.
Yeah, I still say, like, in building terrain and working with terrain lately, it's if I find a terrain is so overpriced for like unpainted stuff at this point.
It is. I mean, but the thing is because doing the work yourself is very time consuming.
Yeah, and the problem is that like there's people who are just so like, I'm throwing my money at you. And it's like, you're buying like really shitty terrain. You should not buy this terrain. This terrain is crap. Like the people who buy the foreground stuff or the new plastics. Like there's this new company that's putting out like paper buildings, like cardboard buildings, but they're just like not textured, but they're just they have like a decal on them that looks like the actual side of the terrain.
Okay.
And they cost just as much as like nice resin terrain.
That's ridiculous. Why wouldn't you just buy the resin then?
Yeah, well, that's what I say. I have no idea why that
that's
is.
Crazy.
I mean, for some, I can understand it for some things. Like, I know Malifaux is very terrain heavy and they like a lot of like levels,
but they
and
offer
stuff.
Their own terrain set called TerraClips, which is cheap.
Yeah, and it's like the TerraClip stuff. That's what it looks like.
But TerraClips is cheap.
Yeah, well, TerraClips isn't that cheap.
But for what you get, TerraClips is cheaper than any other alternative.
Yes, I'll give you that. But it's like that level, and you're just like, oh my God, this is so expensive. But aside from that, that Lake Town is just beautiful. Like, they've always, like, the Weathertop.
And Weathertop's coming back.
Oh, is it?
Yep, that's it. That's what I was saying.
Weathertop was not that expensive. It was, like, only, like, 100-some bucks.
Yeah, no, but now it's fucking crazy. Like, yeah. the back of the... But they're... I think Workshop is slowly working towards killing all that secondary market value on Lord of the Rings, because they're going to be bringing back a bunch of out-of-print stuff from through Forge World, and they're going to be doing the... They have a book coming out. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're doing their made to order.
Isn't it like Battle of the Five Armies or something like that?
It's There and Back Again.
There and Back Again. Okay. Yeah.
There and Back Again is the new book. And there's they're going to be doing a bunch of the on demand, the made to order.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings stuff. So a lot of minis that were worth like a fortune because they were just rare are no longer going to be worth that much money because they're going to be doing the made to order. And the made to order stuff is cheap.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not cheap, but it's not like...
It's like 2004 pricing. Like, the Casterkins, the 10-man metal, was $40.
Was it really?
$40.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's price when we were working at Workshop.
That's true.
So, I mean, that's pretty fucking cheap in comparison.
Only one man I know has ever done the Casterkin army, and that is Dave. And Dave has the biggest Casterkin army.
No, he has the Vestroians.
Vestroians, okay, not the Casterkins.
Yeah, the Casterkins are the stormtroopers with like the plated armor.
I'm thinking the guys with the big furry hats.
The Vestroians. Yeah. I was going to do a Vestroian army. I bought a huge amount of them. I think I might have sold them to Dave.
Probably did. I love the Vestroians. Those guys were... That was a great-looking army.
Awesome-looking army.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely fucking sweet.
Yeah, well... I mean, there you go on that one.
For Vestroia!
For Vestroia! Oh, man, I should go home tonight and watch Hunt for Red October. I love that movie.
You're a Hunt for Red October.
I am. All right, so do we have anything else that we need to talk about? We were talking about Adepticon, I know that.
Adepticon!
Oh, shoot, before we forget, this episode is brought to you by Polar Vortex. The big winter tournament that's going to be going on over at the College of DuPage in Glen Ellyn. I have the dates in front of me. Just give me a second. Oh, man. Of course, it's got to be like that. Here we go. Dates are going to be January 27th through 29th over at the College of DuPage. The first big tournament of 2017. Good Adepticon primer if you're going to be playing with 40K, bolt action, any of that stuff. I know that they're doing a bolt action tournament there. I think it's called Operation Wendigo. So, if you're interested in that,
Wendigo.
So if you're interested in those games, they also doing Shadowrun there. They're doing, you know, magic stuff. Doing Pathfinder Society. And X-Wing, D&D Adventures, lots of different stuff there. So if you're going to be in the area around that time, I would check it out. Or if you're planning, you want to do like a little trip, that's a good time because everything's going to be cheap because it's the middle of January in Chicagoland and everyone's going to be frozen over because it's going to be the worst winter in like a decade, apparently. So
fantastic.
Well, today is the first snow of the season. So, and everyone is losing their goddamn minds.
Like, that's never happened before.
Yeah, it's never snowed before. Actually, it just snowed in Hawaii for like the first time in a while.
Mm.
Yeah. All right. So go to Planet Arbitrary for all your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at
Play on Steve.
You could like our Facebook page /GameClassyPodcast. The best way you could help out the podcast, like, comment, and subscribe on iTunes. You could also listen to us on the YouTubes where we put up the podcast with just a picture, and then people will inevitably complain and say, like, this podcast has nothing to do with the title of the podcast.
It's great. Like, comment, and subscribe on there as well.
Yeah, you can like, comment, and subscribe on YouTube. I don't really care.
That's how you up the algorithm.
That's how you help the algorithm?
Yeah, they changed it to like, comment, and subscribing.
Oh, okay, so you can't... Okay, I don't know how any of this works. I just like talking about minis games with my friend Steve. That's all I care about,
yeah,
right, Steve?
Toys!
And more toys for Joe's Vault. Thank God it's in the crawl space. My wife never goes there. If she saw it, she would kill me. I would just be dead. There would be no more podcasts because I would be dead. Hmm. And you just have to listen to Steve talk about anime, which is sappy the entire time.
Fuck yeah. That sounds awesome.
You could also listen to the sister podcast. You could listen to Play On, which just is celebrating its 100th episode. And you could also listen to Comic Book Logic, where we talk about comic book movies. I think we're doing Stardust next, which is kind of a cheat because it's technically a illustrated novel rather than a comic book. But whatever. We had some time to kill. We just did Barbarella, so that movie's terrible. Okay, so Steve, until next time.
I don't fucking know.
Game Classy.